Hey everybody, welcome to Vassals of Kingsgrave. We hope you're all keeping safe and sound during this global pandemic. And if you're not already freaked out by what's going on in real life, you can escape into the world of Westworld, where you can be freaked out by the coming mastery of our robot overlords, as depicted by Dolores Abernathy and Evan Rachel Wood. My name is Bina 007, and I'll be your host today, and I'm also joined by Dana.
Ken Downer on the forums.
By Adam.
Hey, this is Adam, Drone Snow on the forums.
And by Matt.
Hey, Blue Armor on the forums.
And
yeah,
by Jock.
Yeah, Jock, my no Jock too on the forums.
Fantastic. Okay, so what we're going to do today is we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion of Westworld Season 3, Episodes 1 to 4, because that's what's been published at the time of recording. And it will be fully full of spoilers, so obviously don't listen if you haven't watched the show. And maybe if I can start by just running around the host and asking, what would be your lemon cake rating or number of Dolores round AI ball rating out of 5 for season 3? And also maybe for a bit of context, where do you rank it relative to seasons 1 and 2 so far? So maybe let's do it in the same order. Dana, how do you rate the current season?
3 Doloreses out of 5.
It's much better than season 2. I know you mentioned in the chat that you were kind of watching the season out of obligation, but that's what season 2 felt like for me, where being in the real world is quite refreshing besides the please come visit Singapore aspect of the series. Not as good as season 1, but season 1 was pretty decent. Plus they had to stop about halfway through to figure out what they were doing with it. So I think they've written season 3 a little bit better. It's a bit more interesting. I like thinking, you know, if Westworld's what you do for fun, what's the real world like? Getting to see it is, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's always, you know.
Okay. Adam, how about you?
Yeah, I give it like 3.5 Dolores eggs out of 5 right now. I mean, it's kind of unfair because we're only halfway through the season here, and it basically took like all 4 episodes to kind of get to the point, I think. So, I mean, I really liked season 2 a lot, and I don't think this has quite been there. It's been like a lot slower of a burn. It's mostly just kind of setting up the world and what's going on. But I find all of that very interesting, and I hope that by the time we get through, you know, all 8 episodes of this season, the season as a whole will look a lot better. So, I mean, I'm optimistic.
Good. And Matt, what do you think of this season so far?
Yeah, I'd probably settle on a 4, which I feel like I tend to do a lot. But yeah, I'm like Adam, where I like the second season much more than I do the first. And I would put the third season in between the two. So so far, I like it better than the first season, but not as much as the second. An odd comparison that ran through my head last night was with Euphoria on HBO, which was a show that sometimes felt a little shallow in the storytelling, but just had like style to you know,
yeah,
to bear. And that type of stuff works for me. And so this last episode 4, was my favorite. I mean, just give me, you know, like a club scene with a convergence of all the characters and then a showdown between Dolores and Stubbs, all set to the background of a Weekend song cover. Like, I'm all down for that.
It looks amazing.
Yeah. Sometimes I just wanted to see the pretty lights.
Yeah.
Well, to me, just like having like Dolores run around like some fembot Me Too revenge kind of anime character, just dispatching people. Like, I don't need the layers of metaphysics. That's just good enough for me.
Well, and I'll be honest, I was kind of annoyed with this season because they're like, who did she bring? Which one is Teddy? And I'm just like, none of that should matter. It's so stupid. Why are they like slow rolling who's in these people? And then I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I get it now. That's actually a good little burn on this.
Jock, what did you make of the season so far?
I'd give about a 3 out of 5. I like season 1 quite a bit, and I liked parts of season 2, and some parts I didn't like in season 2. So I'd probably put about the same as season 2, a bit less than season 1, because I liked both the last episode and the first episode. But as I was watching, I found the second and third episodes a bit boring. I also would have kind of liked more if Leo Wolf was like close to a sort of like Isaac Asimov's iRobot kind of world, where everything's pretty much like a sort of robot utopia, and sort of combining that with Terminator coming out.
That's a film I would pay to see.
Yeah.
No, I was quite depressed about the season. I loved season one, and then when I got season two, I really was into the intricacy of that, and I loved the sort of Cylon rebellion. I just thought it had standalone episodes that were off the charts amazing, and I was all about season two. And then as season three began, I liked like what you were saying, Matt, about the stylish visuals and Singapore tourism board stuff, but I found myself really quite bored and just thinking, do I care whether Bernard is in an alternate universe that isn't real, and I don't know. And then I was literally watching episode four thinking, maybe I'm just going to turn off. And then when you got the reveal that they're all basically Doloreses, the Dolori or whatever we're calling them, I thought, now that's interesting. So the idea of, if they're all now experiencing different things, if you have like Charlotte Hale Dolores who's experiencing motherhood, are they going to end up the same Dolores, or will the Doloreses go right up against each other? So I kind of like the idea of Dolores, who obviously wants a kind of a fembot revenge, versus a Maeve who has more humanity to her and more mercy and forgiveness, being set up as being opposed. And I think this was a very slow build. This is like, I feel like I've been in the Shire and with Tom Bombadil, and like in episode four I finally got to the prancing pony and like now shit can happen. So I'm here for
the haze is lifted.
Yeah, exactly. I feel I'm here for the final four episodes, but it was a long, slow walk to freedom. How far do you guys think that the way in which this season was designed is or isn't simplified? Because apparently they lost a lot of viewers in season two because people found it too complicated, yeah, and too many timelines and too tricksy. Do you feel conscious when you're watching it that, do you feel like it's dumbed down, or do you feel it's still...
Yeah, it does feel like it's a lot simpler. Yeah. Like, they haven't really sort of brought up many philosophical questions or much debate in contrast to the last two seasons, which had quite a lot of that.
And I think part of it is, I mean, it's 2 years between seasons, which is rough. They've lost a lot of viewers if you look at the, the viewer numbers. And they've cut it down to 8 episodes from 10. So it all kind of feels like, I don't know. Yeah, it feels like they're trying to do something a little different than what they did before.
How do you feel about it, Dana?
I mean, D&D showed up, so, you know.
I'd almost forgotten about that part. Sorry.
I feel that's definitely sort
I
of...
I like the Jurassic Park reference that they did, but besides that... Anyway.
I mean, as much as I despise D&D, I do kind of feel that without the success of Game of Thrones, HBO wouldn't have bankrolled Westworld. So insofar as they have to kind of give a hat tip to them, I guess that's okay. I do feel they've dumbed it down a little bit. Maybe it gets complicated again with the Dolori, but I felt that's maybe why I wasn't as into it. I just felt there was something missing in the construction. And they may end up in this awful position, I fear, where they're pleasing neither audience, like neither the people who either still think it's too complicated or they've lost already. And then they lose the people who like the complexity. Any other thoughts on that topic?
I was trying to explain it to my partner who hasn't stopped watching in season two, and I'm like, it's just more streamlined. It doesn't feel dumbed down yet with like the Charlotte Hale stuff I really like, and the whole host identity when you're experiencing another person's identity at the same time. I liked that. But with everyone saying like what they enjoyed about season two, I remember how much I liked parts of it, and then I remember the Sublime, and it goes from like a solid 4.5 for some of the episodes, and I'm like, oh, the Sublime, it's down to like 1 out of 5 for me. And it's just like that one part that I really, really disliked, and it's weird that turned me off so much, where when they had Maeve come in and trying to get talking about the Sublime again, I was ready to just turn it off. I'm like, I don't care about host heaven at all. But that might just be me with that opinion.
Mm. Yeah, because what happens if someone stops paying the Wi-Fi bill on host heaven?
Sorry.
Yeah, issues. Okay, so maybe let's get into the meat of episodes 1 through 4. And it's kind of hard to do episode by episode. I feel maybe it's going to be easier to talk about it in terms of what certain characters are doing. So maybe talk about Dolores, Charlotte Hale, Caleb, and then talk about Maeve Bernard. And what's obviously is being set up as a sort of battle royale between Maeve and Dolores. Maybe start with Maeve first, because that's maybe the simpler timeline, or maybe start with Bernard. How do you guys feel about how Maeve is being shown in this season and her relationship with Rehoboam?
I was a little depressed, like, when it showed her back in like, the war world. I'm like, oh, cool, we get to see another world. But I'm like, why is the park open at all? So I was glad that ended up being kind of a, you know, a fake out. But now she's, I don't know, she's in the world, but, like, doesn't really have, I don't know, it's like her agency's been taken away. So that's kind of depressing.
Yeah, it's a, you know, a regression of character development that she has to gain back, which can always be frustrating depending on how long it takes. However, you know, anytime Tenny Newton's on screen, she's one of the best parts of Westworld in general. So, like, she still makes it entertaining. And bringing on Vincent Cassell as Ciroc is also fun, and they have an entertaining dynamic.
They work very well together. What do you think is up with Ciroc? Who is he, or what is he?
Well, we'll find out in the next episode. I mean, the clips from the next episode are, like, kind of showing some of his origins.
I haven't seen it. So what is he? What's he going to be?
In the last episode, they showed Paris being nuked. So I thought his whole thing, I forget the name of the trope, but it's, you know, to prevent horrific war, you have to control everyone and deprive them of freedom for the greater good kind of thing. It's a very common term, and it's just gone out of my head. But I thought that I haven't seen any of the stuff for the future episodes, but I just assumed it was, yeah, rich man trying to make the world better by making it slightly worse for everyone.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think they hinted at, how the creators have talked about this show kind of in the lead up to it was, they had something on that, like, website they had, like, showing kind of a bunch of, like, previous events that supposedly, like, led to the populace of the world kind of accepting the Rehoboam as their, you know, lord and savior and all that. So I feel like next episode we're going to kind of get a few more details as to how exactly that came about and how that system got put in place.
But you guys believe that Maeve is operating with Ciroc in the real world? Like, this isn't some dream within a dream Inception style?
I don't think they have time for that, and that would be kind of shitty.
Yeah, that's when I suspected at one point that's what was going to happen with her or maybe Bernard, and I was like, I really hope that isn't what's going to happen, because that would just be deeply annoying.
Like, Bernard, I felt like got back to the island, like, a little easily. I thought that was a little weird, but I don't know.
Maybe transition to Bernard then. Do you think Bernard's in a reality, like a real island, like he is in the park?
I still have a hard time understanding what his purpose is, like, why she brought him back. And, I mean, he's so paranoid that his head is being messed with. I mean, maybe it's not. He doesn't seem right, though.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, his ease of, I mean, that's part of kind of the streamlined stuff we were talking about with this season, with kind of having him easily get back to the park just to kind of have things moving a little faster. Yeah, I'm sort of under the idea, I'm just kind of taking things more at face value, I feel like, this season, just because if they go too far with kind of that dream within a dream stuff, like, they're just going to lose the rest of the viewers, and they're going to have to cancel the show.
Yeah.
No one's going to be happy with that.
I still have this feeling this is going to be the last season. I don't know why, but I just feel...
It might just for
viewership. I mean, because, like, the reduced season order and the reduced viewership, and which would kind of be a shame considering where they started. But, like, if you don't keep going back to the park, you can't, like, I don't know. It becomes a very different show. So
yeah. How many of you care? I mean, I just really find myself, you know, Bernard was one of these characters in the first two seasons who I really cared about, and the loss of his son, and just, I found him so human and so empathetic, and I'm just losing my interest in him. His scenes are the ones where I'm like, we get it, your head scrambled, you're going to enter a kind of William style, not knowing what's real and what isn't, and it may well send you mad, and whatever version of madness is for you, and I don't know, I just find it less gripping than previous seasons.
Yeah, does anyone feel Jeffrey Wright's had a lot less to work with this season?
Yeah, and he's such a good actor, it's such a shame.
But I think eventually that'll come around, but so far it's felt like we've mostly been checking in with him just so we know where he's at, not that he's really had anything to do. I mean, even his last episode when he, you know, runs across Dolores, that's mostly for our own edification, so we can understand, like, that she's all Dolores.
Yeah, although maybe that will change in the final four episodes. I still find it hard to believe we're halfway through because it just feels like not much has happened. Is this the last we see of William this season, just in his mental institution? Or do you think we will get to whatever scene was at the end of season two in some unspecified future?
I think we'll get to the end of season two. Like, you don't do a scene like that. Lisa Joy was talking about it after season two of, you know, how it's such a big deal to the story and all that kind of thing of where it's going to end up, that if this is the last season, it will either explain what's happened, and if this doesn't happen to be the last season, it's still going to end on a similar scene where it's William still trying to figure everything out about reality.
Jumping to the other side of the philosophical divide, you then have new character Caleb. How are you guys feeling about our favorite meth dealer appearing? Is he a Cylon, basically? Is that why he has these weird jump cut dreams, like very linear jumps from dream to reality?
I don't think he's a Cylon. That'd be kind of weird. I don't know.
That's what the Reddits think.
That's what they're gonna think. But to me, like, I feel like they want someone to connect us to, like, the human world, like the human experience of, like, 2050 or whatever, you know, whatever year it is in the show. And I mean, he could be, but, like, it's just so random that he gets involved in all this in the first place. So I don't know. I do like the aspect of, like, they have an app that's like a Grand Theft Auto app for doing real crime. That does kind of crack me
that
up.
Is very cool. I like his little robot sidekick Chappy. That was kind of cute.
Yeah, that was. I thought he was. I cracked up hard because I was like, "Oh, his robot's gonna come to save him. This is so sweet." He just like falls off the edge.
I felt so sad. I was like, "It's the end of Chappy. Bye, bye, Chappy."
Chappy want to love.
I know. Oh dear. But I'm enjoying having him in there. I think you just do need a straightforward, confused human to represent ourselves in this. Yeah, so I'm happy to see him in anything, really.
Yeah, exactly. I like him getting good roles that he can work with. And I think that at the end, like, what they're going to try to show us is that basically, like, the humans and the hosts aren't that much different because of how they're being controlled. I think that's kind of the narrative. It's like, you know, what is true freedom?
Yeah, it's a freedom. It's a sort of free will versus programming question, as it has been almost from the start, really. So speaking of new characters, what do you think of Liam Dempsey? He's basically the victim of Dolores's sort of industrial espionage, I guess.
I say a poor replacement for Ben Barnes.
yeah, he's just like the random rich kid that I don't really.
Most men.
He's not a good guy either. He's into weird shit. Barnes.
Yeah, also true.
Oh my.
Oh dear. Okay, so that brings us safely and neatly to Dolores, because this is all the Dolores show, as we discovered in a great twist at the end of the last episode. Had any of you suspected this was going to be the case?
No.
I don't know why. I guess looking at it, especially the Charlotte Dolores, kind of the way everything, like the way she was kind of awkwardly handling the kids and like staring off into the distance, and there's all these like very Dolores mannerisms there when you look back at it. But then, like, you know, they were cuddling, and I'm just like, well, maybe I'm like, is that Teddy or is that Clementine, or like, what's going on there? Like, I'm trying to figure out what makes sense. And I guess, you know, the only thing that really makes sense is like, who are you gonna trust, right? She knows she's woke, you know, she can't trust anyone else.
Yeah, but then it just confuses me why Bernard's still around if she can just make more of herself and rely on herself. I don't know how I feel about it.
She needs him to do something. She needs him to do something with her plan, either to be like, just to be the fall guy, because like they're currently searching for him, right? Maybe to take flack off of her while she's working behind the scenes, or there's something that she needs him around for.
I don't know, could it be a sort of Emperor Palpatine sort of thing where she's using him to play both sides, so she has one hand on the wheel.
Oh, Jock, are you walking on the Yorkshire Moors or something? It sounds like there's like gale force winds in the background.
Yeah, it's Scotland, so.
Oh dear. God, I hope it's not an Emperor Palpatine type thing, because that was just so horrible in the last Star Wars.
Maybe the...
Yeah, it could have been handled better.
I would say maybe the password or the location of the robot heaven is just, like, in his head or something.
Yeah, it's confusing, I mean, because it's like, what can you get from his brain? Like, is she able to crack it? Or maybe his brain wasn't entirely intact. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like she didn't just, like, bring him back for shits and giggles because she was lonely. But maybe, because, I mean, it's like she's just brought a bunch of herself back. And maybe she wants someone, because, you know, he is kind of the closest person to her, right?
Yeah, maybe she wants someone to look upon her works, he mighty, in despair. Because she needs to kill Mae. I mean, Mae right. is her antagonist. So she needs someone who knew the parks and knew what she was to see how far she has ascended to dominate these pathetic humans, maybe.
Yeah, I do like the idea that Bernard has the passwords to the Sublime and all the human Section 16 data because he's so paranoid that she's put something in his head, and she's smart enough to go, I know why people are going to be after me in the real world for this stuff. So I do like the idea that she's keeping Bernard as a backup kind of thing.
Yeah, this brings a question. Is there a Dolores Prime? Like, is the one in the Dolores body like the Dolores, or like, you know, they're all Dolores to some degree?
And is there a Dolores Prime who looks like Dolores who controls the other Dolori, or are they all independent human, well, independent beings now?
I'm curious. I think maybe, like, you know, she creates the eggs. They all are the idea, and this is probably like what they're looking at philosophically, is the idea is they're all the same, you know, the moment she creates them. Now she walks out in her Dolores body or transfers into the Dolores body, so she kind of continues to embody that personality, but everyone else has to play a different role, and maybe that, you know, that changes them by degrees.
Yeah, there's a really good show on Amazon Prime here, which has the same sort of question, where the world's duplicated, called Counterpart, where both worlds gradually change from that.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed that. That's, what's his name?
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons, yeah. Yeah, I like that show. So, I mean, I think that's maybe something that they're trying to look at, is, like, divergence of, you know, choice, and see what that, you know, what that does, what that affects the character. But again, I mean, it seems like the Dolores body one is the one in charge, but that's not the one that left the park. I mean, she put herself into Charlotte, right? And why right, swap them around if they're all the same?
It's the Pearl that left. Like, it's the one in the Dolores body is still, like, her kind of, like, original Pearl, whereas I feel like all the copies of her were taken as a snapshot up to a certain point in her timeline, but now they're all on their own, like, separate path.
Do you think she took herself out of the Charlotte body and put her in the Dolores body? And then,
yes, I do.
Okay. That's what I was curious, because I was like, do you think she's still the one in the Charlotte body or not? I mean, I guess that would make sense.
Yeah, and I do feel like they're leading up to some sort of confrontation between her and then the Charlotte Hale version of her.
Especially now Charlotte Hale Dolores is becoming softened by being a parent and is clearly not to Maeve levels of growth. But it's interesting to me how the writers...
murdering predators.
Yeah, but they seem to use parenthood, both, well, for Bernard, for Maeve, and now for Charlotte Hale, as a means to discovering humanity, no?
Yeah, it's probably a little overused in that sense.
You're not a real human unless you breed. I think that's what they're saying.
I mean, I'm obviously a psychopath because I don't have kids, but yeah. But no, it does seem to be that they define, like, there's different ways of defining humanity, right? And this seems to be a core, the idea of loving something more than yourself. I'm not sure that's a particularly human trait. I'm sure lots of animals have that same instinct, but yeah, they do seem to be leaning into that for sure.
It's, yeah, I mean the ability, kind of a trait of life, maybe. But I mean, even Ford kind of had that going on with all of his creations, so it's not like direct progeny necessarily.
Anything else we should be talking about? Maybe predictions for the next four episodes?
Yeah, and I will say, kind of the thing I'm worried about most is just the whole 8-episode run. I mean, that's the, like, it's interesting because with these first four episodes, like each episode is kind of focused more on like one or maybe two characters more than the others. Kind of in a similar thing to maybe what they did in season two, but with the reduced episode order, there's no time really to have kind of the episodes like they did with Shogun World and with Zahn McClarnon's character in season two, where I just feel like they don't have enough time to devote an entire episode to one character, which is.
And I feel sad for that, because that was my favorite part of season two, mm-hmm. with the Shogunwald episode of the Nakashita. That to me is Westworld at its best, like really rich, deep, powerful, character-driven storytelling. And yeah, and to Dana's amazing term, streamlined, I mean, I think that's what we're losing. And you know, that accusation that some people had of Game of Thrones, that you lost all the color and all the sort of the high romance, but kept all the sex and violence. And it was less rich of a world for that. And I feel that's a bit the same with season three. Like, I get the commercial reasons why HBO's done this, but I kind of just feel a bit like I'm drinking Diet Coke. And that's not good.
Yeah. I hope the next four episodes bring it all together. We will see. I mean, the titles for like tonight's episode is genre. The next episode is decoherence. The second to last episode is paused pawn, which maybe is like a Bernard thing that could be interesting. And then the final episode is crisis theory. So not that those really give a whole lot of information, but tonight's episode is co-written by Jonathan Nolan, and so is the finale.
I did say streamlined, but when we do this at the end of season three, I will probably just say it's dumbed down, knowing my opinion of things. I gave them the benefit of the doubt. The other thing we haven't really talked about, but Stubbs, the suicidal host, the whole, like, he wasn't given a tragic backstory, so he's happy the way that he is.
He's just like, I did my thing and I'm done. And Bernard's like, nah.
Yeah. I have to say, one of the nice things about the season has been the nostalgia of seeing old characters come back, like Lee Sizemore or the Shogunwald guy, even if it's just for a second. I kind of enjoyed that. And maybe that's the whole two years between seasons thing. It's just, hello, old friend. Oh, now you're dead.
Yeah. And I feel like I need to watch like the last few episodes of season two, because it's been so long. I'm like, I probably should just rewatch the whole season. You know, 2 years, it's easy to forget stuff. I watched like a 10-minute recap on YouTube, and I was like, oh, wait, that happened? You know, yeah.
Yeah, it was cool to see Katja Herbers in the last episode. I really enjoyed her character.
Me too. What do you think how do you think this plays out? What is the finale for this season?
I honestly don't know, because it's hard to know exactly how far they can get in four episodes. I mean, the one interesting thing I'm thinking about, which was spurred about by the other podcast we've been listening to, which is it just bringing up perhaps a use for the robot heaven thing, where Dolores seems to be keeping it around and hiding it for a reason. And so it kind of, I feel like it stands to reason that she wants to try to, you know, bring them back into the real world once she's like molded it into what she wants it to be. So I feel like that's somewhat of her end game. I just don't know how far she can go towards that in these last four episodes.
They all find out that it does all this and just go home.
Yeah, that just doesn't feel like there's that much time left for this to be all resolved. I don't know.
If it was more than eight episodes, I think what they would do is Dolores changes her end game. Like, through Caleb, she realizes things like host bodies can, you know, stop his mum's quite severe dementia, and being able to do that. So her end game was world domination, and then it changes to, you know, living and learning off each other and skipping off into the rainbow. But I don't think it is. I don't think there's enough time for her to change her mind. I would like to see Charlotte Dolores turn, maybe be on Maeve's side. That would be really cool. But just because I love the whole experience changing the person, and she changes Dolores. Charlotte Dolores changes so much that she's actually not recognizable as Dolores anymore. She's not ever going to be Charlotte, but she's both and something else all at the same time. But I don't think there's enough episodes for that.
I mean, even with Charlotte being revealed as like having been a spy and all this stuff, I still felt really bad for her this season, whereas I didn't so much in the previous seasons, like with the video she made for her son. And I mean, I never thought like she was like a bad person or anything necessarily, like when it was revealed that like she had been replaced, we were like, oh crap. But like, you know, like she, it does seem like she brought all of this down upon herself. And, you know, we learned that, but I still feel bad for her.
I did really love the scene with her getting William institutionalized. That was great.
Yes.
It was very well done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty good. And I am curious, like, the naming of the system, calling it Rehoboam, like, I wonder where they're going with that.
Why?
Yeah. Well, I mean, because that's like that was the first king of one of like the, when Israel split or whatever, that was like one of the first kings of split kingdom. It was him and his brother. I don't remember the other guy's name. But so I'm just curious as to if if it has something to do with like kind of like, I don't know, some sort of split in the world or.
Well, I like it, right? Because it's sort of, you're setting up the world as, you know, these two worldviews of Maeve and Dolores, and this idea that there are two competing systems and how to run them. So yeah, I think right. It makes sense. You know, I think like it's meaningful. It's not coincidental.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, just interesting.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Vincent Cassell like had a brother that he lost in whatever happened in the past as well. That could have something to do with it.
On a much less philosophical level, where was that button in season two? Because both Vincent Cassell and Bernard now have buttons that just freeze hosts.
I know.
Like, that would have been super useful last season.
What, in the midst of a massacre? Yeah.
Well, I mean, so yeah, because Ford never really used anything like that. He just had the voice commands that worked. But then I guess with Maeve, he had to rebuild that system into her brain when he built her new body.
Yeah, my interpretation to try and like explain that is that I feel like those devices need to be somewhat tailor-made to specific hosts. They're just not a catch-all for freezing every single host you come into contact with. At least that's my hope that's how that works. Just for logic's sake.
But Bernard thought that Liam was the host, so he just made one without knowing anything.
I know
about a host.
It's
Liam.
Not perfect.
Yeah, it would be nice if it was tailor-made for the host. I would, because that would mean that Bernard would have one that's kind of tailor-made for Dolores, and then shuts down like three people or four. Because we haven't seen the fifth one, have we? No, Tracy. I can't count right now. Sorry. But it would be really cool just to see them all shut down if Bernard had, you know, the Dolores tailor-made one.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be weird. Yeah.
Okay.
Because, well, we've only seen four, right? We have Dolores and Charlotte, the security guy, and Tanaka or whatever.
I guess, yeah. But my question, yeah, I was actually confused. My question on that was, isn't that it? Like, didn't she bring, like, five pearls in total? So it's four of her plus, oh, wait.
Right.
Yeah, right. Right. So that's yeah, but four. it doesn't include her. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there actually should be one more. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Or Caleb's a host, and his tragic backstory is he is a vet with PTSD, and his mom has dementia, and that's why she doesn't recognize him as his son.
He's a sleeper.
Jesus.
I feel like it would be really silly if he was a host, but
oh, it'd be a cop out.
Whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I think it's far more interesting to have him as a human with whatever he's got going on.
Maybe a way to close out this episode is Variety has five burning questions after season three, episode four, and we can go through them. What does Dolores want with Caleb exactly? She took him suit shopping. Caleb swiped through some posh-looking outfits, but the whole time the audience may have been wondering whether Dolores was just playing games with him, or whether she genuinely wanted to help him break free from his computer-generated fate. Is Dolores actually trying to help Caleb, or is she just toying with him?
So that's a good question, because she clearly doesn't trust anyone but herself, as we've seen now. So that kind of adds a different aspect to it. He saved her, which I'm sure she would have had like one of her people come help her out if need be. Like, it doesn't seem like she had anything to do with them crossing paths. But, you know, I could be wrong.
Yeah, my optimistic view is that, like, he just interests her. And that she's not, like, I mean, yeah, she's using him for stuff, and that, you know, he has skills that she finds useful. But I feel like she's just keeping him around somewhat just because she kind of likes him. At least that's my hope. Just because I like the dynamic between those two. I'm interested to see where that goes.
Next question. Will William ever be put out of his misery? He may have finally reached the center of said labyrinth, as Dolores took pleasure in assuring him he will never come any closer to figuring out who or what he is or what is real. Like his father James before him, William has been left to live out the rest of his days trapped, insane, and alone.
I would like to say in this case that I brought this up actually last season as to what his, like, because she mentions in this episode that this is what his daughter, like, this is the punishment that his daughter wanted for him. And I called that back in the previous podcast we did of last season. So I just want to point that out. But I don't know. I feel like, yeah, this is his punishment. And he's just kind of going to live through it for, you know, forever until they try to bring him back as a host or whatever.
It is.
I have a hard time with him killing his daughter.
I feel that I hadn't really realized that was his dad, right? Or not his dad.
It's just father-in-law.
Father-in-law. But yeah, that's horrible. Yeah. I mean, I think both fates are grim. But yeah, when we saw that demented version of the father-in-law towards the end, just being nutty until found, that was horrific. Who isn't Dolores? Yeah. All through season three so far, Bernard and fans of the show have been trying to work out which other host's pearls Dolores stole from the park. Well, it turned out that she hasn't used any of them yet, but has instead managed to clone her own consciousness and insert it into every host in the real world. Dolores is Dolores, Hale is Dolores, Connell's is Dolores, the guy from Shogunwald is Dolores. Heck, who isn't Dolores?
Bernard is Dolores?
No, Bernard isn't Dolores. Dolores is Hale's.
That would be messed up.
Yeah, yeah. So does that mean she still has other host pearls? Activated?
The implication I got was that the pearls she brought were just copies of herself that she
made.
Yeah,
exactly. So I think Variety's got that wrong. I don't think that...
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
The article's just making an assumption there that I don't think is correct.
Would be interesting. So can she only use existing host bodies? Like, would Serac be Dolores, like, fucking around with Maeve? I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, she can create. She obviously had that system to create the bodies that she wanted to.
Yeah, but who else would she use? Like, you think for a second she's going to copy the Ridge Kid, but, you know, she's already got the security guy. Doesn't really need to do that. So, like, what's her end game there? You'd think that she'd copy someone else, like, of importance or power. I don't know.
Yeah. Which brings us to the final question posed by Variety. Can anybody stop Dolores? Serac's plan was to send Maeve, an equally intelligent killing machine, after Dolores to kill her. That's going well so far. The episode closed with Maeve sliced open with a katana, her blood mixing with white fluid from nearby barrels to form a beautiful piece of artwork. I love how none of us have discussed whether Maeve's actually properly dead. However, on the plus side, the Shogun version of Dolores wasn't quite able to prize Maeve's pearl from her skull. Clearly we haven't seen the last of Maeve, but at this point there doesn't seem to be anyone who can stop Dolores other than Dolores herself. So two questions. Is Maeve dead, or is what's going to happen to Maeve's pearl?
She'll be back
in a Maeve body or in a random body?
No, her
body didn't look that messed up, did it?
Well, she was sliced open with a katana.
Yeah, but he can make another one.
She got better.
there's a shot from the trailer of her and Dolores facing off like on a bridge or something. Like,
okay, nah, so we know she comes back. Okay, and also
maybe she's become one of the main players. She's mixed with the blood.
but who can stop Dolores? Serac with his remote control? I mean, I don't...
Does anyone stop her? Do we want her stopped? Is that where they're even going?
That was kind of my thinking, right? If this... Posit a world where this is the final season and there's a giant battle between Maeve and Dolores, kind of X-Men style. Should we live with humans or accommodate them? Or should we just dominate them? I mean, this is basically the X-Men. Who do you want to win, given everything we've seen of humanity in this show?
We haven't seen enough of humanity for me to really care. Like, they seem like they fuck some shit up. So, I mean, I'm for, like, the system being torn down, at least in some way.
Yeah, when I watch shows like this, it's for kind of to go down the, you know, path not traveled, just to see how it would play out, like, in fiction. Like, so I'm always more interested in the path that leads to the most change, just to have some fun with the writing and to try and play that out in your head.
It feels like Dolores should win, like, from everything we've seen in the park, from all the examples of humanity we've seen have basically been shitheads, or who then maybe become reformed, like these size more, but basically horrible. And so Dolores should kind of win, but I want Maeve to win, and I don't think she will. I think the point that Westworld is trying to make probably is the inevitability of AI taking over, and, you know, what happens when humans aren't the cleverest things on the planet. But it would make me sad. I feel Maeve is going to end up as the tragic heroine who couldn't stop Dolores. It would feel phony to me if Maeve won, like contrived, even though I want her to, if that makes sense.
Right, and but I mean, what is her goal except for to stop Dolores? Like, what is she winning at? She's trying to get back to her daughter. I mean, how much does she care about, like, stopping Dolores? Like, really? She's not super invested in the humans.
Maybe she just wants to be with her daughter in the AI egg. I don't know.
Charlotte Dolores, like, the only one who can stop Dolores is Dolores. Or I'm all for, like, Charlotte Dolores stopping Dolores.
So Charlotte Hale becomes the humane Maeve-type Dolores, and Dolores stops Dolores. I could live with that. I've really been impressed with Tessa Thompson this season and her ability to play layered characters. I think that's been interesting.
Yeah, no, this show has become like kind of just a female driven show with the three of them as just kind of being the cornerstones of the show, and then it's even when perhaps the writing is not as good, like they always carry it through, which is why I enjoy watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they dialed Dolores back. You know, she went from semi-warlord Dolores in season two. In the beginning of season three, it seemed a little bit more sympathetic, and then it got to like the end of episode four, and I'm like, oh no, warlord, like Dolores is back, like he's still there, still playing games and kicking ass. Which I don't know if anyone else had that feeling where she felt just a little bit gentler in certain ways, but maybe that's because she was injured and she was interacting with Caleb, and that kind of papered over.
Yeah.
Yeah, her Machiavellianism.
I mean, yeah, like as she said, she's not, she hasn't been killing for killing's sake this season. She's just kind of killing for defense purposes mostly.
Yeah, for sure.
She has a goal.
She has an evolved morality, I feel. And actually, I mean, maybe Dolores would argue she does too. But it's vengeance versus forgiveness, ultimately, isn't it? I don't know. Oh, well. Anything else on episodes 1-4?
No, just looking forward to tonight. Hopefully hopefully they get a lot done.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. It's setting up. I mean, if they pull it off in these last four episodes, it will be tremendous writing to sort of get everything kind of to its conclusion and resolved. I think it,
yeah.
You know.
I know, I've said this before.
They're going to be such like tight, fast-paced episodes that are just going to be like edge of the seat kind of watching.
There will be no fat on this bone of yeah. TV, right?
With only 8 episodes, it's a little harder. I mean, they did this in season 1 and season 2, like the first bit of it. It was very slow burn. I mean, you don't notice it so much in season 1 because like everything's new all the time and you're like, oh, the hosts and all this stuff. But like, it really takes a while to get to the point. And the same thing they did last year. So, I mean, I think it's sort of like, you know, true to form for them, but they only have 8 episodes now instead of 10. So,
okay. Well, I think that's a very positive note on which to end. Thank you, listeners, for listening, and we will no doubt be back online, bring ourselves back online after episode 8 to discuss what did or didn't happen in the season finale of Westworld. In the meantime, I've been Bina 007. Thank you to Dana, to Jock, to Adam, and to Matt for joining me. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Bina.
Thanks, Bina.
Thank you.
Episodes,
I definitely question the nature of my reality.
Well, especially now. Episodes do seem to be coming out thick and fast, which is great because it's like we all have nothing but time right now. So are there any other episodes forthcoming? I saw we had a brilliant Tiger King episode came out this morning, which was great fun to listen to. Anything else being recorded soon?
There's some prospective stuff coming up. I mean, I know like, you know, rereads are over, but there is still some like Game of Thrones content, Ice and Fire content on the way. And then there's just a whole bunch of TV shows and books, I think, that people are kind of kicking around, seeing if they want to discuss.
Is anyone watching the TV show Devs, which is a sort of sci-fi TV show from Alex Garland?
That's the one.
I watched one episode, but I'm waiting for it to finish. My partner's currently inside watching the most recent episode. I'm like, ooh, second last episode. I don't want to know what happens at all. So
yeah.
I know the preview looked interesting, but I just haven't gotten around to it. I've been catching up on a lot of stuff. Like, I burned through both seasons of Star Trek Discovery, finally, which I really enjoyed. Like, I remember hearing, like, some people were like, this isn't Star Trek or something.
No, I love
that. When that was airing, but I thought it was really good.
I really enjoyed it, too.
Yeah.
I really love Picard, too.
I liked Picard, yeah. We could do an episode on Picard. There's a lot. I think there's a lot in that.
For sure. And you know, we're about to start watching Devs, so hopefully if that's good on this sort of sci-fi Westworld-y theme, we can watch that too.
I'm watching Tales from the Loop. It's on Amazon Prime. It's based on some books that an artist, Simon Scandinavian last name, with I can't pronounce, but it's really good. If it's like Black Mirror, but with heart.
Oh, that sounds good.
It's it's so good. And I definitely recommend picking up all of his books. Or just look at his art online because it's quite readily available and it's beautiful and fascinating. And yeah, it's got Jonathan Pryce in it for a couple of episodes.
Oh, wow.
And Yeah, I definitely highly recommend that one.
Okay, well, everyone needs TV tips right now. And I know that Belgravia is finally showing in the States. So if you fancy a bit of Julian Fellowes Downton Abbey style costume drama, but set in the 19th century and darker, actually. And again, a bit like Westworld, just featuring these two matriarchs played by Tamsin Gregg and Dame Harriet Walter, just going against, like, just interacting with each other. Just these two strong female characters, and the men are just, like, just running circles around everyone else. Really, really good.
Has the series been finished yet, or is it coming out weekly?
So in the UK, I think we're on episode 5 now, but I think it just started in the States a little bit behind. So, and you can read the novel.
That's what torrents are for.
Yeah, I read the novel, and that's also great. So yeah, lots of recommendations. Cool. Well, in the meantime, listeners, stay safe, stay healthy. Thank you for listening, and we hope. Well, I'm sure we'll be in your feed soon, because it's amazing what a pandemic does for recording episodes. All right, have a lovely weekend, rest of Easter, guys. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Oh, and Matt, just quickly, you did the Ghost in Winterfell summary, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so.
That was so funny. I was in my car laughing.
Yeah, it was great. Fun.
It was so good. I was like, I need him to sum up so many, like, because your summaries are normally, like, everyone's summaries are good, but yours normally have me at least laughing a little bit. I'm like, oh, I never thought of it that way. And that kind of, like, just the way that you started it, I was so on board from about the third sentence when I'm like, oh, he's doing, like, a Law and Order Westeros. Yeah. And I loved it. Loved it so much.
That idea had been in the back of my mind for for months. I was waiting for that chapter.
So well. I forgot to post it, like, because I only listened to it a couple of days ago. I forgot to post on the forums how much I liked it. And then when I saw you on this, I'm like, I need to say how much I enjoyed it before we leave.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, so good. We now need to do another reread, but Matt just does all the summaries just to sign you up for that.
there are only so many ideas you can pull.
Just do it all Law and Order and Westeros. I love it. Sorry. Yes, I'll let everyone go to sleep now. Or continue on with the rest of their Easter Sunday. I'm going to go to sleep.
Have fun, everyone. Okay, speak soon.
Bye.